We are in chapter 18, which is found on page 46 in the top numbers.
Yes.
And we are starting a new section of the Tanya. The Tanya is broken up into many sections. 1 through 17 is a section, 18 through 25 is a section, 26 to 34 is a section, 34 to 40 is a section, 41 to, I don't know, it gets kind of fuzzy at that point, maybe the end of the book, 52 is a section.
Okay.
The author spent the last 17 chapters explaining how a person can achieve the level of Bainini by using your head.
Yes.
Now, he starts out, he makes in chapter 18, he starts right out, he's alluded to this already in chapter 16, and says, this is hard. not everybody can stay focused for so long.
Right. To become a Bainini.
He says, we
what
had
about,
guests.
What about a Russian photographer?
Okay.
Maybe.
we had guests this Shabbos.
Yeah.
And looking at the Parsha, Parsha's Nasi.
Right.
And the question came up, what's the deal with the Sota?
Okay.
And my wife, I don't know if she was taught this, but she came up with this tremendous explanation.
Okay.
Because the problem is we're putting her through all this.
Right.
And what happened to him? Okay, so you tell me if they did anything, then he dies too. Mm-hmm. Okay, in the meantime, he didn't have to get schlepped to Jerusalem.
Right.
He didn't have to drink any water.
Right.
He didn't have to get all undressed.
He was embarrassed.
There's
right.
a whole thing over
yeah,
there,
right,
you know,
right, right.
you know, just the anxiety, the whole thing.
Right,
he doesn't
go through
any of that.
Right.
Okay. So my wife said,
hers is a tshuva.
How many Sotas do you think there were in the annals of history? This is a woman who is suspect of adultery. Okay, when you think about it.
I mean,
personally speaking, between you and I and the tape recorder and everybody who's going to be listening to it, you ever suspected your wife of having an adulterous affair?
No.
No, me neither.
No.
Never. Not even remotely. Not even. Okay,
right.
That's the way most people are.
Correct.
So the number of people who, this is a woman who was warned, not once, but twice.
Twice.
Don't be secluded with that guy.
With a certain man.
With a certain specific individual.
Right.
Okay, but somebody else, I'm going to warn you again about that one.
Right.
Okay? And nobody knows if they did anything, because if they know that they did something, then she's not suspect anymore. She
right.
did something.
She did something, right.
Okay, so it probably didn't happen all that often.
Probably not, no.
But what was it now? So why do we gear it to the lady? Is because what would happen, you have average Joe male.
Mm.
Okay? And you tell him that, listen, okay, you're not supposed to have adultery. You're not supposed to engage in adulterous affairs.
Right.
Okay. And if you are suspect of having an adulterous relationship, we're going to schlep you, Joe Male, to Jerusalem,
right.
and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that,
right.
and we're going to do this.
Right.
Okay? And you're going to blow up in places where you don't want to blow up.
Right.
So what's he going to do? As soon as he sees a really good-looking lady,
he's gonna.
It's all that's forgotten.
Right.
Okay.
It's done.
But if you tell the lady, that if you engage in such a behavior, she's gonna say, "Wait a minute! I don't want to do this. I don't want to get involved with this." So it's not to say that the lady's gonna go through it, but who are we giving the warning not to do it?
The woman.
The woman, because if you're gonna have an adulterous relation, you have to have a man and a woman. And if one of those are missing,
it's very tough to have.
Then you cannot have an adulterous relationship. So the Almighty then prepared the way that how are we going to be the most efficient in this warning?
Uh-huh.
And so he said,
okay.
And therefore gave it over to the lady.
Gave it over to the lady, right.
Okay? Because, now, getting back to why am I bringing this in over here? Mm-hmm. Why does this come over here? Mm-hmm. Is because you're talking about a guy, okay? And this guy says, I want to be a Bainini. Okay? And we tell the guy, okay, chapter 1 through 17.
Just use your head.
Just sit down and focus. Okay? Right.
Done.
Okay. Next.
Right.
What? Okay.
Yeah. So the Alter Rebbe
says, right. So the Alter Rebbe says, I don't want to lose you guys. Don't get excited. Okay? There's still, we can backdoor this.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay? And that's what he did.
Omaha.
chapter 18 through 25. I'm not exactly call a guy a backdoor Benini.
You
because
will.
I, you know, a Benini is a Benini. That's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, that's okay.
There,
hey, if I've got to be a backdoor Benini, I'll
go there. Yeah. So he says, but there's another way of doing it, and it's easier, but it's harder.
Okay.
The first way was harder, but it's easier.
Long,
this way, is,
way.
Yeah. This way is
the short,
easier,
way.
But it's harder.
Yeah.
Okay. So at least you can like practice doing this. Okay. And basically, the basic gist of this is just do it. That's, if you encapsulate chapters 18 through 25, it's just do it.
Don't think about it, just do it.
What's stopping you from doing it? Just go ahead and do what you have to do.
I had a friend of mine who used to say, get on with the doing of it.
Right. That sounds like a Texas expression, yes.
Get on with the doing of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so now, chapter 18. Latoises bir ber heitiv milis ma'oid. You have to explain, in that pasuk of kikar v'lecha dover ma'od v'fichol lovcha la'asoysoi, you have the word ma'od, very. It is very close to you, in your heart, in your mouth, to do it.
Yeah.
Okay? To tell me that it's close, okay, that's already eyebrow raising.
Yeah.
But now you're going to tell me it's
very close.
Very close. Very close means, if I tell you something is very close,
that means I'm going to bump into it.
Yeah, you're going to bump into it. It's like right there in front of you.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So we're not playing exactly cold or hotter over here, but
yeah.
it's you're pretty warm.
Yeah.
So, we really have to understand well. You have a person who really has a very limited knowledge of Hashem. And he uses the word...
I hope that's not a qualified term. Go ahead.
He uses specifically the word das. He doesn't say Havana or Hasaga.
Right.
This guy is... What is he missing? Is he's missing das. Or his das is just not really fully developed. Because what does das do? Das says, all this Hasidic stuff, all this Kabbalistic, you know, esoteric stuff that I'm learning, how is it relevant to me?
Yeah, right.
What am I going to do with this information?
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to feel this to be absolutely 100% true?
Right, right, right.
So this person, he's got some, everybody has some.
Yeah.
Okay, but he says, so he doesn't say none, he says Katsara. He's got a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, so this guy's got a little bit. Now, they're going a step one further than that. He just doesn't have the intellect to understand the infiniteness of Hashem. Now, that's true with probably anybody, because it's really hard to try and understand the infiniteness of Hashem. And if you'll ever get there from here, maybe not. But he does talk about that in chapter 41 of Tanya. But more important than that, he doesn't have the intellect, because intellect by itself doesn't go anywhere. What we want to achieve with the intellect, we've been trying to say in chapters 1 through 17, is that the intellect should give birth to a love and fear of Hashem,
right,
such that a person should feel a passionate love affair with Hashem. Okay, so this guy doesn't have it.
Yeah,
okay. Even if it's just intellectual, but he kind of gets it, he really understands, he's not feeling it in his heart, because it says, you have to love God with your heart. But he's got it intellectually.
Right.
As we were talked about in chapter 16.
Yeah,
yeah. Afal Kane, but nonetheless, even such a person, it is still very close for that person, lishmar lasseis kol mitzvahs haTorah, to do and to keep all the mitzvahs of the Torah, lishmar for the negative commandments and lasseis for the positive commandments, all the mitzvahs of the Torah, v'talmud Torah keneged kulam, and the study of Torah equal to all of them, b'fiv ulevavei mamish, in his mouth and in his heart mamish. Why is it that talmud Torah keneged kulam? Can we talk about this? Mention this? The study of Torah weighs equal to all.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's actually the discussion in chapter 5.
Right.
Where he talks about there that mitzvahs just provide like a garment of a connection to Hashem.
Okay.
Whereas the Torah is internalized. And yep, therefore, there's you know, but then also a person can't say, oh, Torah study? I did that one today. I don't have to do it anymore.
Yeah.
Tefillin, if I come to you right now and I say, hey, listen, Akiva, come put on tefillin. Hmm. I put on tefillin this morning. I don't have to do it anymore. You're right. You don't have to do it again.
Right.
Okay. Say the Shema again, will you? I said, no, I did it this morning already. Once in the morning, I did it. When night comes, I'll do it one more time. Hmm. You know, I fulfilled the obligation. Right. I'm done.
Right.
Okay. I gave charity today. That's fine. Okay. A person can't say, I learned Torah today. I'm finished.
Yeah. Right. Correct. Yeah.
Okay, because it says v'hegisa b'yam v'layla, you have to toil at it day and night.
Day and night.
Okay, and a person's never done.
Right. That's a double-edged sword.
Meaning?
Meaning that. So whatever time you're studying, you're accomplishing it. But whatever time you're not studying, it's an
you
issue.
You want to be a vanity? You don't want to be a vanity. Okay.
It's an issue.
Yeah. I mean, it says in Pirkei Avos, "Ein amar etz chosid." You know, an ignoramus can't be a chosid. You got to know. Yeah, you always have to know. Right. I mean, you know.
I'm qualified not to be a chosid.
Okay. Could you walk around work as you're doing your stuff with earphone things in your ear, listening to? They probably say, "Nah, this is probably not safe anyway."
Right.
You got to be able to hear, but.
Right.
That's what it says in Hayom Yom in six different places. You got to learn stuff by heart.
Stuff by heart, that's right. You have to learn. Put something in your head.
Because the brain is always going. You just got to, like, what am I going to think about?
Yeah, figure out what you want to think about.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Kirosh also, they call them the Boulevard of Mamish. Ma'umke Deliba. From the depth of the heart. Be'emes La'amitai. In absolute truth, with an absolute true feeling. The chil of a rechima with a love and fear, shehi ava misuteres shebelev klalus Yisrael, with a hidden, with a love which is hidden in the heart of every Jew. Okay, that's what we're going to do. That's what we're trying to now going to hit. We're going to hit what's called the ava tevis, the natural love, the genetic love. You're Jewish. You got it somewhere in your DNA over there. It says love God.
Right.
You can't help but to.
Right.
Okay. Now, make a focus on the word ahava misuteris. The word misuteris would literally be translated as that hides itself.
Interesting.
Okay, it's a reflexive verb. The love that hides itself. Because if you just say, if you want to say hidden love, you'd say ava nistara. The word nister, tzaddik nister. Okay, you'd use that word. That means hidden.
Sure.
And because what happens now is when you bring it out, somebody says, "Oh, look at that guy. He's a tzaddik. He's not nister anymore. He's revealed."
Right.
Okay. But this is a love, which even when it's revealed, is still misuteris. When you're feeling this natural love, here, how could Jews have a revealed love which is hidden, or a hidden love which is revealed? This is Judaism. We could do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we don't have a problem.
What's the deal? Because where is this coming
contradiction?
From?
We love that.
He's gonna explain this. He explains it more in chapter 19.
Yeah.
Okay. He says in chapter 19, he says, Lachi nikra avazu ava misuteris. Therefore, this love is called the love which hides itself. Because where is this love coming from? This love for Hashem is coming from, you want to call it chachma shebenefesh, you want to call it the essential, quintessential point of our nefesh elokis. This is a love that even when it's brought out in revelation, the essence of it
is still hidden
because it's connected to Hashem.
So you're only seeing the fruit of it.
Yeah, you're just going to see the cloud that it leaves.
Right. Okay.
Okay. But this is the love which is, that's what it says. It's written in your DNA code.
Yeah.
It's written in the connection in Yechida Shebenefesh. It's written into the connection that you have with Hashem.
Interesting.
Okay, as it says in the Gemara that a Jew, not he wants, nor can he be separated from Hashem.
It's an amazing piece.
Because we have that connection that just doesn't unplug. It's not a simple cable that wears out. No, yeah, it never. It's an essential, because we don't understand the idea of essential connection. We use the word essential means that our essence connected to Hashem's essence in such a way that there is only one essence there. That's right. What the essence of our soul is.
Yeah.
That's what if you really want to do now, if you want to be a Beinoni the easy way, yeah. is tap into that.
Tap into that, right. It's a good idea.
When you do, then I'll face the.
Should I give you a call?
Yeah, I'll face the tape recorder your way.
Yeah, I'll just give you a call.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yerushalanu, Mavasenu. That this love, this innate love, is an inheritance to us. From our forefathers, meaning Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Rakshatzarech lahaktim lover tchila. Bear hative, but you just can't jump on a roof over here. We're going to need to explain this a little bit. Mm. Very well. Shorsh avazu. Where does this love come from? V'inyanai. What is this love? V'echu Yerushalanu. How is this love inherited? You can bequeath a piece of property.
Yeah, how do you...
How do you tell your kids, you better be loving those Brussels sprouts the way I love those Brussels sprouts?
Indeed, buddy.
You can't.
Yeah.
But so how is this now, this love of God and inheritance? Ve'ech nichla gam dechila. And how does it also include dechila fear? Because we said that what do we want this person to do if you're going to establish balance? He talks about this in chapter 40, that just love doesn't fly.
Doesn't work.
It's like a bird with one wing.
One wing, right.
It's not going anywhere. So you have to have the balance of fear as well. So where is he getting the fear from? We were calling it Ahava Misoteris. It doesn't call it any place Yira Misoteris. There's no such thing.
Yeah. Because genuine love has awe in it.
Correct.
Genuine.
Okay, it boils down basically you're afraid to do anything to break the connection.
Okay.
Would be like sort of like the way to explain how the love is included in the fear. I love you so much, I'm afraid I would to do anything that would cause our love to any discord.
Right, correct. You're in too much awe of the relationship to one another.
Exactly. So we have this bunch of questions which are now going to be answered, and they will be answered by chapter 25. Actually, most of them are going to be answered by chapter 19. But at least just enough to keep you hanging.
Yes.
Okay, so again, the questions are... What does it mean? Where does this love, this hidden love, come from?
Right.
What is hidden love?
Right.
How is it an inheritance to us?
Right.
And how does it also include fear?
Fear.
Right. So the first thing we're going to talk about is the Yerusha. Okay? He says normally we answer the first question first, but in this instance he's answering the easier question first. How is it an inheritance to us? First of all, let's analyze who we call the patriarchs.
First,
okay. When we say patriarchs, we mean specifically three people: Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov.
Right.
Okay. We don't include Terach, Baruch Hashem. Okay. He's not in there.
Uh-huh.
Nor do we include as the patriarchs any of the 12 Shvatim,
right.
or Moshe, or David, or Shlomo HaMelech, or Yeshaya, Eliyahu. These guys are all pretty heavy hitters, but they're not Avos, they're not the patriarchs.
Right.
Okay? Because the Avos did something that nobody else did.
Right.
They achieved the level of Merkava.
Mm.
Merkava means a vehicle.
Mm.
Okay? Where does your car go?
Anywhere I take it.
Anywhere you point it, yes. Except in my condition where the cable broke and I couldn't get it out of park. Okay,
assuming I changed the fuel filter in mine, yes.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Okay, so now, the car has no desire of its own.
Right.
It is an extension of you.
Correct.
Your will directs the car.
Zero will of its own.
Correct.
Right.
Will it be sometime in the future that you say, okay, I'm going to make a left turn over here, you flip the blinker to go left, and it says, Akiva, I don't suggest you do that. Maybe. you know, with GPSs and these things, okay, and you know, you're going to get into construction over there. If you turn to the right, you're going to find a better way. You know, let's not, that's not so carrot. Sorry, Akiva, you're not going that way.
Right, yeah.
It may very well be.
But, yes.
Okay?
Yes.
But that's not, it's not that it has its own will. It's
correct.
Just it's suggesting you change your will.
Right.
Okay? So Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov.
Someone else exercising their will over mine.
Correct. Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov willingly gave up their freedom of choice.
Yes.
Whatever you want, Hashem, that's what's going to be.
That's what I'll do.
You want me to get thrown in the fire?
I'll
get thrown in the fire.
Yeah.
Okay, it didn't make any difference. It was a no-brainer for Avraham.
Right.
Bow down to my God or I'm going to throw you into a fire.
Yeah.
Avraham didn't even think about it.
Right.
If Hashem wants me to be a monotheist, I got to get myself thrown into a fire now.
Yeah.
No worries, no fusses, no nothing.
Right,
no,
right,
he didn't.
Right,
it's my
right.
time to get thrown into a fire.
Right.
Avraham was the most surprised of everybody that he walked out of there.
Yeah.
Hey, look at that.
Wow.
Okay. Did he want to do it again? No.
Write this home to mom.
No. He did not want to do it again.
No.
Okay. Yitzchak was laid down on an altar.
Yes, it was.
And told, stretch out your neck.
Yes.
And what did he do?
Laid down on the altar.
Laid on an altar, stretched out his neck.
Yep.
Okay, if Avraham, you know, you have this this picture of Yitzchak being his little kid. No, you have this 37-year-old man,
yeah.
And he's being told what to do by a 137-year-old man.
Right.
And if Yitzchak would have said, "What are you out of your mind?" He could have well have been overpowered Avraham and run away, and that would have been the end of that.
Right.
Okay, but no, he said, "Oh, God wants me to be a sacrifice. No,
yes.
I'll be a sacrifice."
Yeah, please be okay. Steady, Dad. Don't trafe me.
And and then even say more that when he's asked to carry something, he says, "Wait a minute, what's going on over here? Your sacrifices aren't supposed to be worked.
Yeah.
What's going on?"
Right.
So Hashem will take care. Okay, good, fine. As long as you got the situation under control, Dad.
Right.
That's fine.
Right.
Okay, Yaakov.
Right.
Had one of the, you know, I think I had a bad day.
Yeah.
Yaakov had to live with it. Esav.
Yeah.
He was 9 months in the womb with Esav, you know?
Yeah.
That's not enough to start your day off bad.
It's a great beginning.
Okay. And then he had to deal with Lavan, and he had to deal with Yosef being missing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he had to put up, you know, Shimon and Levi, his two juvenile delinquent sons, knocking off an entire city, and then the 31 battles that he had afterwards to mop up afterwards.
Right.
I mean, you know, whatever it was, you know,
whatever
God wanted,
it wasn't so bad.
Whatever God wants, that's fine.
Yeah.
We'll just do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
You take for example Moshe. Moshe is called the greatest prophet.
Right.
Velo kama navi kamesha. There's no prophet in Israel like Moshe.
Right?
It says that.
It says.
Moshe, God tells Moshe, okay, I'm going to wipe out the Jewish people, and I'm going to start the whole Jewish people over with you.
Right.
What does Moshe say?
No.
No. He starts fighting with God.
No.
That's not Markava.
No. No,
that's not Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov.
No, it's not. No.
That's saying you have what you want to do, God, and I have what I want to do.
Yeah, that's I'm in your face, God.
Yeah. Okay. So Avraham, Moshe was not a Merkava.
No, he wasn't.
Okay, but Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were the only three people to ever achieve that level. V'al kein, and because they did what they were able to do.
Right.
Zacho lahamshich niran levenehem achareim ad olam. They were able to draw down a nefesh ruach and neshama to their children after them forever. So that means that what was it that was bequeathed? Not so much a love of God. Here, kid, here's some love. Okay? No. What they merited was that the Jewish people got to get, were merited to get godly souls. That's an inheritance to us. That's something that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov gave to us as an inheritance because of their actions.
Incredible.
Were they doing it with that in mind? No.
No.
They were doing it because this is what God wants.
God said.
They were doing it definitely a lishma.
Right.
There's no ulterior motive. Oh, look, if I do this, then my kids are going to get. No.
Right.
None of that.
Right.
Okay, but because they did what they did, we got to get a godly soul.
Yeah.
And what about this godly soul, which comes me'eser sfiras hakedusha, the kedusha, shebaarba olamis alamim, that they come from the 10 spheres of holiness, which are Chochmah, Bina, Das, Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchus, and from the four worlds, which are Atzilus, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiyah, L'chol Echad ve'Echad, Kefi Madrigosav, Kefi Maisav. Each one according to the level he needs to be on, each one according to the deeds that he's going to perform. Va'al kol panim afila l'kal shebekal l'pesheya Yisrael, and even a person who is considered
the worthless of worthless.
I don't like the translation.
Say so, say so.
And I'm surprised that the Rebbe actually let that thing go, because there's no such thing as worthless.
Okay.
He's the least involved of all Jews. Uh-huh. And a peshe, he's negligent.
Right.
Okay, the Friedrich Rebbe referred to this person as, if you asked him, are you Jewish, he would say yes, and that's all he would know. If you say, and what does that mean? I don't know. Someone told me I'm Jewish. You say, B'shem Yehuda Nechayna. His nickname, somebody called him Jew. Okay? So I'll call upon him to him. So at least that person is Nimshach Mizuvugam Nefesh to Nefesh to Malchus de Asiya. That person at least is going to get a soul, which is the lowest level of soul, from the lowest sphere of Malchus, from the lowest world of action. That's the absolute bottom when you're talking about spirituality.
Right.
But nonetheless, since it's holiness, it's included of all of them. You know, like we talk about by sphere. That sphere, we have chesed of chesed, and gvura of chesed,
right.
And malchus of chesed, and chesed of malchus. So all the spheres are interconnected one with the other.
Right. Yes.
Chachma de tzilus. That in the, in other words, in the lowest of the lowest level, you have contained in it the highest of the highest level. Okay, yes. Which is Chachma of Atzilus. Shabba Meir or Einsei Baruch Hu Mamish. Then what's in Chachma of Atzilus? Chachma of Atzilus, you have the infiniteness of Hashem. Because that's the initial germinating point for the entire creation.
Correct.
Kidiksiv, as it says, Hashem b'Chachma Yisad Aretz. Hashem with wisdom founded the earth. V'kulam b'Chachma Asisa. And all of them you made with wisdom. And the Altareba likes to use that verse is an indication that for Hashem, wisdom, chachma, is a tool by which he used everything. But since chachma is, as he's going to say in the second part of the chapter, a potential, it's called koyach ma, the power of what could be.
Okay.
So a potential can be potentially anything.
Right.
And so since a potential could be potentially anything, so therefore it's infinite. Theoretically speaking, we're not talking about actually, but theoretically speaking, a potential could be anything, and therefore it has infinite possibilities.
Correct.
As soon as you stick the word infinite there, Hashem says, "Oh, I'm right at home."
He makes connection.
I can be in there. Right. Infinity is infinity.
Yeah.
Okay. So in Chachmas, you have the infiniteness of Hashem. The Nimsach, so it comes out from all this, Ki Einsei Baruch Hu Melubesh B'Luchinus Chachma Shebenefesh HaAdam, that the infiniteness of Hashem, the infinite light of Hashem, is enclosed in the level of wisdom of the soul of the individual, whoever that Jew may happen to be. Every Jew has the infiniteness of Hashem radiating through his neshama, through that aspect of wisdom. Everybody has that initial starting point, which has this potential, and that is the connection that we have then with Hashem. With the level of Chachma with them, im orein sar baruchu hamalubish ba mispashetet b'chol b'chinas nefesh kula achayisei. And what happens then? That now becomes like the little battery. And the battery sends out the current needed to run the rest of the thing, and so that every part of the person's being now is being affected and benefits from this connection that the person has coming through their level of chachma. And of course, everybody on their own level, by the time it gets down to their physical actions, so that you can even have a person who is called a kal, a light or easy person, okay, or a negligent person.
Okay.
And that person also has the infiniteness of Hashem pushed through to him.
Yes.
He doesn't talk about it over here, but he talks about it later. Is that's how it's possible for there to be martyrdom, for example. And even a person who doesn't have any cognizant connection to Judaism can still be Meiser Nefesh.
Right.
There's this famous story with the Friedrich Rebbe when he was in a bomb shelter in Warsaw.
Yeah.
And the big bomb went off near them and it shook the bomb shelter.
Yeah.
And he said there were Gera Hasidim there, there were Lubavitcher Hasidim there, there were communists and socialists and atheists and Mizrahi and all kinds of people were in his bomb shelter. And when that wall shook, everybody said Shema Yisrael.
Everybody.
Okay.
Everybody.
And that godliness now, which is coming from the infiniteness of Hashem, spreads out to enliven the entire soul, from head to toe. As it says, wisdom enlivens her husband. Okay, so that the wisdom of a person's soul is what is the life force that is surging through their neshama. That's the godliness that is within them. And that's what the person is. It happens at times that low-level souls, people who are in a low state of productivity, can have a very high-level soul, high-level child. That these people are from within the depths of Klippa, the depths of the force of Ezel, and he's not even thinking whatever he's thinking. And he has a child who is a big tzaddik. It's possible. I'm trying to think of any of the tzaddikim who had such simple parents, but I don't, on the top of my head, I can't think of any. But the... going back to like the chapter 2, when he talks about the different kavanas that a person should have while having relations, that it's possible that a person who is of a low order could have somehow merit to draw down a child who is of a very high level.
Terach
had an Abraham.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty low, pretty high.
Yeah, pretty low, pretty high. Yes. Indeed. Okay. What did he do to merit it? I don't know. I guess he didn't kill Abraham for knocking down all those... That was after he had him.
That was already after he had him, yeah.
Yes, what did he do beforehand? So, the...
make those cheshbons.
Yeah, and the Arizal talks about this in Sefer Gilgulim, which talks about reincarnation.
Yeah.
So, hine chachma hu makar ha-seichel. Chachma is the source of wisdom. V'havana. It's also the source of understanding. V'hilamayla mehabina. It is higher than the level of understanding. Shehu havanas ha-seichel v'hasagasay. Which, what's Bina? Bina is understanding and comprehending a concept. V'chachma hu lemayla mehabina v'hasaga. Chachma is higher than that. V'hu makar lehen, it is the source from them. It's sort of the initial germination of this of the thought is found in chachma, and the development of that thought to the point of comprehension is done in Bina. V'eina nitfas b'hasaga adayin. And when it's in Chachma, I skipped the line. V'zehu lashon Chachma, koyach ma. This is what the word Chachma means. Chachma means the power of what? It's a potential. Shehu masha einu meisi, musag, umuven. It's not comprehended, it's not understood. V'eina nisvaz v'hasaga adayin. It's not yet comprehensible.
Right.
Lachain, and since there, it is not limited by seichel, the parameters of seichel. That's why Hashem can enclose himself in it. You talk about seichel has to have limits. Otherwise, it becomes not seichel.
Right.
You just can't be flying it with all kinds of things. Okay?
Have instead of conduit.
The example given, I'm not sure if we gave this example before, is with the panim chadashis.
Okay.
Okay. Panim chadashis is literally translated a new face.
Ah, okay.
If you want to make sheva brachas,
right.
You have to have somebody who was not at any previous wedding celebration.
Right.
It has to be a new face there.
A new face, correct.
Okay? Now, there's another law that says that if you have a really fancy, exceptionally fancy set of dishes, and you want to use them, you don't want to throw them away, so then you can kosher them. How do you kosher them? You put them in a kiln.
Ah, and refire.
You refire. The Chachamim only allowed this for dishes, which if the qualification is if it dropped would your wife cry? That's how upset she would be that a dish of this set broke.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we're not talking about the Corel living.
Not talking about not talking about Corel.
No, we're not talking about that stuff. Uh-huh. It doesn't break anyway. But
that's not true.
I know that when it hits the ground, it shatters. Yes. Couple of times and it's gone. Okay. But anyway, so you don't cry when that stuff breaks. It's like, thank God we finally get to get another set.
Excuse me. I called the cost today and I couldn't.
Okay. So now, but we talk about a dish that's very valuable.
Sure.
Okay. So such a dish, you could put it and you can rekiln
it. Right.
And what is that dish now called? That dish is now called a panim chadashis. A new face.
Really?
Okay, because it's a new thing. It's kosher now.
All right.
Okay, it's been refired. It's a whole new thing. Would you ever think you could take one of these dishes and make a shever brachas? Where's the panim chadashis? Oh, here it is right here in my hand.
Yeah, that won't quite work.
No, it doesn't work.
Yeah, it won't
but
quite
work. But it's both panim chadashis because intellect has to have limits or it's not intellect. Okay?
Although I've known some people have about the same intellect as that plate.
Okay,
Still.
Therefore, since now we're talking about Chachma, that Chachma is beyond the limitations of intellect, therefore Hashem in His infiniteness can enclose Himself in it. That, what are we talking about? A level of Hashem that cannot be grasped by thinking. As the rest of that expression in the Zohar is, Leis Machshava Tefisa Beklal, no thought can grasp Hashem, Awul Beru'usa Deliba Tefasta, but with the depths of your heart, you can grasp Hashem. Because when you're talking about depth of heart, you're talking about pre-intellect. You're talking about an essential connection. So there you're talking about no limitations of letters and intellect and concepts. You're talking about an essential feeling. So that essential feeling, you can feel the infiniteness of Hashem.
Tohu? From Tohu?
Doesn't have to be. But it's definitely a level
I don't want to say an ordered Tohu, because I don't know if that works, but...
But in other words, it has to be beyond the level of order, yes.
Right.
But it's beyond the level where...
But it's not actually chaos either.
Well, when you talk about it, when they put where was Olam HaTohu in the geography, in the Kabbalah geography...
Yeah, that doesn't quite work.
So it's in... No, it's in Ratzon.
Yes, okay.
Tohu is in Ratzon.
Yeah, okay,
because it's not limited to a specific order. Ratzon is like all over the place.
Right.
And simultaneously
I suppose in that case it works perfect.
Simultaneously existing contradictions.
That worked out just fine.
Right. So from the depth of the heart, from this deep level of will, you can grasp the infiniteness of Hashem.
Yeah. Okay.
Lachin kol Yisrael afilu hanashim va'ame aretz, hei ma'aminim ba'Hashem. That's why all Jews, even women and ignorant people, believe in Hashem. Now, your caveat over here. He's not causing women ignorant people.
Right, thank you.
What he's saying here, he said women,
yes,
one category, and ignorant people, another category.
Right.
Because if women would be considered ignorant people, he would just say ignorant people.
Women.
He would say ignorant people. He wouldn't say women and ignorant. That would be redundancy.
Right.
So it must be that women is a different category. So what are we talking about when we're talking a moon? Why does he say even women believe in Hashem? Because women have a Bina Yisira. They have an intuition. Which is in Bina, it's in understanding.
Right.
And they have a great grasp on spiritual concepts, inherently.
A better grasp, yeah.
Correct.
Right.
So even a woman who has a better grasp of spiritual concepts, that when as soon as you say, I understand this, you don't believe it. I understand it. This is the way it is. This is, you know, they have an inverse relationship one with the other.
Mm.
So even such a person who has a tremendous grasp of divine concepts, like a woman who has an innate grasp,
right,
also believes in Hashem.
Also believes.
Correct.
Right.
Shehamunahu l'maylu min hadas v'hasaka, because belief far out exceeds das and comprehension. Kipesi yemen l'chol davar v'arim yavin. As it says, a fool believes everything. Because what out? That sounds terrible. It's a fool believes everything. I said, but when you're talking the word fool, the fool is not limited by intellect.
Correct.
He doesn't have a limit, though, so therefore he believes. Okay, Aram Yavin, and the person with guile, the crafty person, believes or understands. And compared to Hashem, that Hashem is higher than intellect. Nobody can grasp in a thought of him at all. Everybody's like a fool. As Isaac Isaac Humler once said about him and the Alter Rebbe.
Yeah.
He said, it says, if you think I have any kind of... Isaac Humler was almost a Rebbe himself. When the Rebbe Marash, when the Rebbe, Mittel Rebbe passed away,
yeah,
there was an idea to make Isaac Humler the next Rebbe.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So he said, Isaac Humler once said, if you want to talk about me and the Alter Rebbe,
yeah,
you might as well just as be saying the same thing like the cat and the Alter Rebbe. Okay, and it's not that it's the cat and me and then the Alter Rebbe. No, it's me and the cat
and the Alter Rebbe.
Uh-huh. We're all the same.
Uh-huh.
So, with Hashem, HaKol Kepesim Esel Yisborach, Kedeksiv Ani Bar V'lo Eda, Behema Yisi Enoch. The King David said, I'm an animal and I'm constantly with you. Vani Tamid Enoch, Kalaymer, Shemezesha Ani Bar V'lo Behema, that that I'm a boor. And I'm an animal. Anitami dimach, that what makes me constantly with you, because animals don't have intellect either.
Correct.
So if a person's going to allow himself to become like an animal for Hashem, okay, so they'll have a greater appreciation of Hashem. Lachin if you look kalsha v'kalim v'peisha yisrael masrim nashim al kedushas Hashem al arayv. That's why it is that even a person whose connection with Judaism is less than cognizant.
Right.
Will sacrifice their lives for the sanctity of Hashem's name in the majority of cases.
Right.
Okay, and he says that in the majority of cases because there are instances where people will say, you know what, I'll pretend.
Yeah.
The whole case with the Muranos and these things. I mean, you know, so these are questions that need to be talked about in an individual basis.
Sure, of course.
V'sayvli minuyim kashim, and people allow themselves to be tortured. Shalai lechaper ba'Hashem. Not to deny in Hashem, Echad. You have the story with Chana and her seven sons, the Hanukkah story,
right.
And each one was told to bow down, and they wouldn't, and the little 10-year-old, the last one, was told, listen, just pick up the ring in front of the idol.
Right.
He said, absolutely not. It looks like we're bowing down to the idol. I'm not going to do it. Right. Okay? Because not a Jew can, not a Jew wants to, nor can he be separated from Hashem. Even though everybody's going to sacrifice their lives for Hashem, even though they may be boors and ignorant people, they don't know the greatness of Hashem. And the little bit they do know, they're not thinking about that when they're sacrificing their lives. Here I'm thinking about the greatness of Hashem as this guy's about to chop off my head.
No.
They're not sacrificing their lives because of Hashem. So we may have mentioned this not too long ago. The difference between every thought and religion and philosophy has a concept of Mesiras Nefesh.
Sure, of course.
Okay. Why do Muslims blow themselves up?
For gain.
What gain?
What they think they're going to accomplish.
Yeah. What are they going to get?
They think they're going to get 70 virgins.
72 virgins, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
You tell this guy, listen, the whole thing with 72 virgins are Baba Maisa.
Yeah.
The only thing you're going to get is blown up.
Yeah.
So what's he going to do? Forget it, I'm not interested.
Right. Right.
Okay? With a Jew, however, the Mesiras Nefesh that the Jew feels, that's because a Jew, non-Jew has Chayesh Benefesh.
Yes.
And he has a will and a desire.
Right.
But he doesn't have Yechid. He doesn't have this plug-in that the Jew has.
Right.
That's unique to the Jewish soul, this Nefesh Elokis.
Yes.
The Jew, their connection is essential.
Right.
And the idea of separating a Jew from Hashem is like pulling a fire from a fire.
Yeah.
You can't separate the fire from the fire. It's all one fire.
Right.
Okay? So the Jew can't be separated from Hashem. Mm. And that's why a person who has no cognizant level when it comes to push comes to shove is going to say, okay, off with my head. This even this ignorant person without any meditation, he doesn't have any feel any connection to God. For him, it's just an impossibility to deny Hashem.
Right.
And it is totally and completely irrational. Why is it irrational? Because that's not the relationship that we have with Hashem. Our relationship with Hashem is not a rational relationship. It is a supra-rational relationship. And this idea of never wanting to be separated from Hashem is a result of that supra-rational relationship. It doesn't make sense. Because Hashem Echad illuminates and enlivens his whole soul by clothing himself, meaning Hashem, right, in the chachma of this guy's soul, which is higher than comprehensible intellect. To be continued.